Hello, and welcome to episode 80 of Design Curious Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. I can't believe that we're at episode 80 already. I am already looking forward to episode 100. I'm going to do something special for you. And so stay tuned in 20 episodes for that to come. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Today on the podcast, I have a great interview with Nate Stover. And you're going to love this interesting type of design that he does, very niche. And before we get to his interview, I will tell you a little bit more about him. From an early age, Nate, founder, owner, and head builder and designer at Innovative Spaces, became involved in the trades from building furniture to eventually building entire homes. His work has taken him through a myriad of crafts, which have constantly been stretched to new limits in the small spaces and vintage trailer world. The trailers he works on at Innovative Spaces gives him the opportunity to stretch all that he has learned and acquired through his years of experience to their full potential. He does not just use his previous building skills, he is also able to exercise his creative skills to produce something truly unique and functional. Every project that leaves the Innovative Spaces yard represents their ingenuity and years of craftsmanship. So as you can tell, it's going to be a really fun episode about small spaces and mobile spaces, just to give you a hint. Before we get to the interview with Nate, I want to remind you that we have some great downloads for you in the show notes. Just click on the links or go to the website, rworddesign.com/podcast, and you can find all the information there. There's also a really fun quiz you can take to figure out which kind of interior design you should be doing if you're interested in the career. So go and take that. And now let's get to the interview with Nate. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. Hi, Nate. Welcome to Design Curious Podcast. So great to have you here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Rebecca.
Yeah, and I am really interested in your story and how you got into your creative field. So why don't we go ahead and jump into that and talk about what you're doing right now and then the path and journey that you took to get there.
All right. I've always been a builder at heart. I've done many other occupations. I was a scientist for a while. I've gone down a few different roads, and I always seem to end back here. I think the reason for that is because every time I went into something else, I started missing just that there's something about creating and making something that draws you back to it.
Yeah.
Any field you go into, there's frustrations and hardships and things, but having something tangible at the end of the day that you can say, I designed or I built this, really is something that I think people get addicted to that are in this industry. Yeah. Is they just have that kind of need to create. But if you had asked me, you know, 15 years ago, oh, you're ever going to get into building trailers or small spaces, I never would have thought yes. But once I got into it, and I'll tell you in a minute how I got into it, it really kind of captivated me a bit. You know, I used to be a general contractor, build single family homes, and it was big and grand and, you know, ways. I was building up in the Silicon Valley area. So you had some ridiculous money, cost wasn't an issue in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, midlife crisis, I went back to school and became a scientist. So I was a marine geochemist for a while.
Wow.
And, you know, life had some major changes where I couldn't be out in the field because of kids. And so I needed to find something really pretty immediately. And a buddy of mine was building some Airstreams out. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll give it a try. And it really kind of grabbed me enough to where I started a business on it and just kind of developed from there. It was the thing that caught me about it was in typical construction, you know, you're not confined. You know, you're confined by a lot size or, you know, certain building requirements as far as daylight planes and so forth like that. Mm-hmm. But it was nothing like this, where this is the amount of space you have. That's it. You don't get any more. Now be creative to make this work. And that's really kind of what has kept me captivated in this space, and the fact that it kind of ticks off a lot of areas that I really care about. One of those is the environment and upcycling, reusing things that have already had a life, giving them a second life instead mm-hmm. of creating something from scratch. We do a lot of systems that are designed to be off-grid and are very sustainable. You know, those are the type of things that made me feel good about it, mm-hmm. for one. And then the other thing that I really liked about it is it gets people out and traveling and seeing the world. And that has always been something that has influenced me throughout my life. When I was in my early 20s, I remember taking a summer off, put everything into I think I had a Nissan Pathfinder at the time, mm-hmm. threw my tool bags in there, and I just took off and I traveled for about 8 months and traveled around the US, Canada. When I'd run low on money, I'd stop and work on building a house somewhere to get some more funds and keep going.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing experience that I think has allowed me to connect to a lot of my clients. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of people who, especially since COVID, who can really work off the grid. They can yeah. not tie to an office. They can work from anywhere in the country. We've even had a lot of families with young kids that wanted to travel for the first couple of years of the kids' lives before they go to school.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a neat connection. And reducing your footprint and everything else is such a key to understanding the world, what we use, and, you know, just being more conscious of our surrounding. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into it, long story around.
Yeah. Well, it often works that way, where your own life experiences will speak into your career path, because you have, like you said, that connection with your clients. You understand what it's like to travel for a year and not really have any roots anywhere and just live in that van life. So going back to the design aspect of these Airstreams and what you're doing, what are some of the challenges? I mean, obviously space for sure, but did you have to do any research as to the type of product that you're using inside because it's such a confined space?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, so when I started in this, I was working with somebody who had a little bit of experience in it. So kind of had a baseline to start with. But naturally, I immediately started looking into different materials to use, different ways to build lighter, stronger. One of the things I've never liked about RVs is for so long, they were all built kind of the same. It was you go in there and it's those flimsy wall panels, mm-hmm. that coating, and it's the RV industry is really slow to progress design-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, still they're producing trailers that look like they were built in the 80s.
Yeah. I know. You think they would have come around by now, but I guess people still want that. I don't know.
I don't think they want it. It's just kind of an industry standard.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that they really haven't. There are more manufacturers using neater materials, changing their looks more, getting out of that 80s, some point in mid-century modern or other looks, mm-hmm. more of that kind of industrial look with all the toy haulers and stuff like that. But yeah, so I really started researching about different materials to use. We're rebuilding trailers that a lot of them are, you know, 60, 70 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the aluminum bodied and framed trailers, so they have a long life to them. But oftentimes we're completely deconstructing them and rebuilding them from the ground up. So I'm using stuff out of the boating industry. Like I use a subboard that's called Cosa Board. It's a fiberglass composite that's, you know, the difference between like a sheet of marine ply at 100 pounds and a sheet of this at 35 pounds.
Okay, yeah.
With the same strength ratings, you know, so and they'll never rot. So I really try to look outside of what is typically used in the industry to try to elevate our builds and to bring in a higher quality. But the challenge is, unlike a home, everything is provided from within the unit, from your storage to your power to everything. You know, in a home, you connect into the city sewer, you connect to the power from the power company, you know, and in this, you're integrating everything into one little box. And it's actually a lot more complicated than people give it credit for. I remember when I first started in there, I was like a little almost embarrassed that I was working on RVs, you know, because people are like, oh, RVs.
Yeah.
But the systems are much more advanced than what you find in a home. Mm. We're integrating 12-volt systems. You're having large battery storage. You know, solar is very typical. You're producing a lot of what you use. And so it's been a long learning process. And that's been the thing about it. I think that's also kept me captivated is there's always something more to learn in it. Mm-hmm. There's been huge advancements in technology over the last 10 years that have kind of changed the way, even in the last 10 years that we've been doing this, we've changed what we've used as far as battery systems.
Okay.
Like initially, I stayed away from the lithium ion batteries because they were external battery management systems and they had buttons and people could push them and put the whole system down. You know, it's really changed to where all of that is built into the battery now. And so it's become a lot more functional with less opportunity for user error, because that's one of the big things too. Yeah. Is you want to keep your builds extremely simple usage-wise. Kind of our rule of thumb is if somebody can push a wrong button, they're going to. If, you know, you look at whatever somebody can do wrong, they're going to do it. So keeping them simple, but super usable is kind of the challenge in it. We've only recently started getting into the whole smart trailer thing where you can control your trailer off your phone. You can look at the status of your tanks, look at your power usage and production and so forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a fun challenge because you have all of those aspects of space systems, designing it so that it's comfortable for the client to use. Those are kind of the challenges in there. And each client is different. People come to us because they don't want to go buy one off the shelf that's designed for a general usage. You know, they want something that's very specifically designed to how they're going to use it. Mm-hmm. And each client uses their trailer differently. You know, one maybe is, I'm working from the road. I need to have good connectivity. I need to have a really well set up workspace. Versus the people who, you know, they want that weekend camper, people wanting to be off grid more versus campgrounds where they can plug in to get power. So each project is very unique.
Yeah, definitely. And even thinking about the weight limit of what you're putting in there is something I hadn't even considered before, but you definitely need to tow. Like if you're doing an Airstream or even with the RV, it needs to be mobile and go through all different kinds of climates. And then like how he said, if it goes wrong and then they're off the grid, like you don't want that to happen because there's no one around them to help them correct that problem. So making it kind of user friendly and kind of idiot proof for having things go wrong, you know, when they're off the grid. So
yeah, I mean, and that's actually part of the reason we're starting to go with more of like the smart trailer as well. Mm-hmm. Is we're able to diagnose things from afar, you know, whereas, you know, if someone's out in Utah and the Badlands or whatever, and you want to, and something goes down, you can try talking them through it on the phone. Usually it's one switch or one fuse that's gone out. But being able to see all of that is very helpful.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm sure your design process is pretty similar, you know, just the design process in general, you go through the same steps every time, but you're working with a much smaller space. So I feel like you have to be much more creative and intentional about the way you're designing it. And even with lighting and zoning and human scale, all goes into it. I think that you just have to be even pay more attention to all of the details that you're doing, because every little inch matters, correct?
Absolutely. And in a small space, it's very common to have conversion spaces. A real common one, oversimplified, is the dinette that converts to a separate bed. You know, the table base drops, cushions fold, and then you have additional sleeping. But oftentimes, you know, we have people who work in trailers and want to convert spaces to stand-up working stations, or to be able to convert from sitting to standing. Sleeping is always an issue. Where placement of bathrooms and spaces is so critical in these builds. It is easy, like if you go into like a lot of the older Airstreams, there's a lot of big walls and full height cabinetry, and you go in there and it feels like you're walking down little paths, and it's a little bit claustrophobic. And so one of the things we've tried to do in the design aspect of it is making the small space feel bigger. You know, and a lot of that is conversion storage underneath things, having less full height cabinetry. Big walls for like bathrooms and so forth can often, if you can put them at one end of the trailer or the other, you can have a much more open space in the middle, which gives you a much larger feeling. Line of sight is really important to make a space feel larger. Like center baths, which are pretty common in Airstreams, have a tendency to put these big walls right in the middle of the unit. So you really feel like you have a small space in the front, small space in the back. And it's not to say we don't still do center baths. We do sometimes, but we really have to look at how the person is using it. And we find that if you have like a couple in a unit versus a single person, you're going to design a trailer much differently. A single person in a unit, you want the space to feel bigger. If you have two people, like we've done trailers for people where there's two working people or working from the road, they wanted that separation of space so they can both be doing their own work without being on top of each other. And so that's a case where a lot of times we've used center baths, is to kind of convert the bedroom to a workspace, convert the dining to a workspace, but have that separation. So it really depends on the client. And that is our main goal, is that, you know, every one of our trailers doesn't represent us as designers, but represents the client and their particular taste. So we feel successful. We feel successful when they come in and they love it, even if we don't. Like, yeah, I wouldn't do that in my place, but you know, this is what wanted. You know, and the design process, we really start with that early on in it, is, you know, we use Pinterest like everybody else, and we create Pinterest boards for each client, and we have them start just doing a dump of stuff they like. We want to get to know their aesthetic. We want to know what they like. And so it can be from a house, it can be from a car, it can be from whatever. We just start having them dump stuff that they like in that Pinterest, that we can lick through it and get to know their design aesthetic, things that they like. That helps save us a lot of time, because we start building that picture in our minds of what that end product should look like. And then, you know, once we kind of have that, then we really work into the functionality of it, how they're going to go about their day-to-day usage of the unit. You know, from point A, getting up in the morning, showering, making food, working, whatever it may be, I really kind of like to put myself in their shoes of, okay, I get up in the morning, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go work for a few hours. How am I going to maneuver around the trailer? You know, how are two people going to maneuver around in the trailer? Reducing, if there's multiple people in the trailer, reducing pinch points where people can't get past each other. You know, you have a kitchen that's very centralized and blocking. Person needs to get back to the bathroom, it becomes problematic. Someone's stepping out of the kitchen, so someone can go around. Things like that are all things we take into consideration. And then in the design, we start out by kind of blocking out the design. Here's the general layout. Here's the flow. Here's all that works. We do all of that to kind of, I don't like to go through and just throw out a whole design to people, because then it's a long way to backtrack. So it's much better to kind of block everything out first, get the general flow of the trailer. Then we can start designing individual cabinets, how the looks are, adding the finishes. We do everything in 3D. allows us to put people to scale within the drawing so that we can see how the space feels.
Yeah.
You know, visualizing is everything with a client. Mm-hmm. Some people are great at visualizing. They could do it off of a 2D drawing. A lot of people aren't. Otherwise, they'd be designers, you know?
Right.
So exactly. We need to kind of help them down that path.
Yeah. As far as the finishes that you use, I know you talked about the flooring being more marine grade. Is there other specialty finishes that you need to use, or can it translate pretty well from the home industry?
Well, we make it look more like a home, a traditional home when you walk in. So you have wood cabinetry and so forth. But we use like an ultra light plywood that's pre-finished. It's about 40% lighter than standard plywood. There's obviously certain things that work and don't work within a trailer. We can pretty much make it feel and look homey like you would want to be in.
Okay.
And that's the idea behind it. We do use a lot of natural wood finishes and veneer. We do tile in some of them. And, you know, we use some different materials, some same as the home. But you got to realize that everything in the trailer is basically going through an earthquake for however long you're driving every day.
It's
being shooken all up, you know? Bounce down the road. So the way we build is definitely a bit different than a home. In a home, you have certain connection points. We have to increase those connection points. The way we build has to be able to be dropped and shaken.
Yeah, definitely a lot of seismic activity.
Yes.
In the trailer. You know,
and then most of our builds are all aluminum body trailers, which react to heat and temperature changes much different than the wood inside. So I had to come up with solutions on how to integrate it. A lot of trailers you go in, they make those transitions with these plastic moldings and stuff. And we don't like that look. So that had become a little more creative on how we can get that seamless interior corner between an aluminum shell and a wood bodied cabinet. And that's where we've learned a lot of things over time on how to do that, that holds up for years.
Okay. Yeah. How often do people typically keep their design? Is it the turnover of redoing the design in their Airstream? Do they keep it for 10 years, 20 years? What is the life expectancy?
Well, we've been around 10 years and most of the people will have repaints done or something, but we haven't had people come back to do rebuilds.
Okay.
You know, these builds will last 50 or 60 years.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You know, so they have some longevity to them.
Yeah.
And we rebuild these units better than they were originally through materials. And like one of the weak points in most Airstreams was body leaks and the floor rotting out. So, you know, we've gone to a spray foam insulation that seals the whole body.
Okay.
We've gone away from the wood floor to the fiberglass floor, which will never rot. We'll never eat it, you know?
Yeah.
So we've done things to make these things have as much life as they originally had, if not more.
Okay. That's great. So if someone were to consider getting into your industry, who's maybe working like you had previously, you know, as a contractor or as a designer, but want to like niche into this area, what would your recommendation be? Is there anything that they need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend somebody going and kind of, if they're on the building side of it, I'd recommend going working for a builder who's already doing it for a while to kind of learn the industry. If you're a designer who's getting into it, do some builds with a reputable company who's been doing this work for a while. There's just different ways of building. There's different systems that go into it. An easy transition is people are coming from boats to like RVs. It's a lot of the same systems that we use in boats and RVs. But there's definitely a steep learning curve that could dissuade you pretty quickly if you have a project go badly in that learning curve. So if you're a designer, working with somebody who kind of knows the in and outs is a great way to start. We've worked with a lot of outside designers. We've done a lot of work for movie stars and most of them have their own designer that works on every house that they own, the aesthetic they like.
Right.
And so we work with a lot of them. And our main goal in there is to just guide them into the products that work. We love working with them. I mean, the concept behind it is when we work with outside designers, we get exposed to a lot of new ideas that we haven't necessarily thought of.
Right.
Yeah. Great. You know, and I always love that input. I'm a great structural designer. I'm not great on interior finishes and what goes what. I have other people in my design staff who are much better at that.
Okay.
You know, and so when we're working with clients who are very particular and know exactly what they want, that's great. When we're working with clients who have their own designers they work with, that's also great because it expands our horizons too. Mm-hmm. You know, it builds that kind of that library of content that we can pull from in our own in our own minds.
Yeah. So how many people work at Innovative Spaces that you have working for you?
We have about 12. It goes up and down a little bit. I would love to hire more if I could find more. It's a difficult field to find people who are competent enough in it. So I've had a lot of people who come from high-end finished cabinetry and carpentry who struggle with the curves that we deal with in these trailers.
Oh, okay.
Everything is curved. Every cabinet is curved. We have compound curves. It's not a very straightforward transition. A lot of electricians, they don't get the integration of 110 and 12 volt systems. It's very different from home electronics.
Yeah.
We've gone through a lot of people over the years trying to get to the team that we have now. That is a challenge. I'd love to see more younger people coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a couple guys that are in their 20s. Most of the guys are in their 40s, 50s, and some even in their 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and we need more emphasis on blue collar labor and appreciate it because it is. And it is a real skill.
It is, yeah.
And the people who are do it and have been doing it for a long time and are good at it, it's equivalent to any other PhD you have out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are experts for sure in their field.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is a problem across the industry that, you know, a lot of designers I talk to, it's just really hard to find younger trades because now the older ones are retiring or they're, you know, just not available anymore because they're maxed out. And there's not a lot of younger trades coming through and coming up through the ranks. So there's definitely a shortage of qualified people who can be the expert that you need. So hopefully that will change soon.
Well, anytime I find, you know, a younger guy that I can usually tell within 3 or 4 hours of working with somebody, whether they have the skill or not, whether they have the aptitude. And so what you're really looking is for, if I look for, is the people who have that aptitude. See, I can train them. I can teach them what they need to know. But there are certain things you can't teach. People either have an aptitude for something or they don't. The people who are really good at it are usually really smart and don't want to stick around working for somebody else for a long time. Move on to what's the next natural progression in their career.
Right. Yeah.
Life. So yeah. That's an age old struggle of, I think, any employer, you know.
Yeah. You train them up well and then they jump out of the nest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're like happy for them and pissed at them at the same time.
Did you see a big uptake in people wanting to do the van life since COVID-19 happened?
There was a huge uptick in the whole industry in between tow behind trailers, motorhomes, van life, but that's all kind of changing right now. Van life has crashed hard.
Oh, okay.
There's 3 companies I know about that have closed their doors right around here.
Interesting.
Builds.
Oh.
I think what happened is everybody kind of gets excited, goes crazy on it, and then the reality of how much they actually are using it or whatever sets in. Economy gets a little tighter, they got to sell it. If you're looking for a van or an RV or a trailer, now's a great time to buy.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. We had this huge influx and then everybody's selling now. Yeah. So we've seen probably in the used market, probably 25 to almost 40% decrease in price.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But, you know, we have seen an uptick too, though, in people using Airstreams as accommodations. We're doing a number of projects with companies who are having a mix of, like we're doing one in Texas, they have these duplex casitas and Airstreams to rent out as
a hotel. Okay.
So we're seeing an uptick in that as well. A lot of people are parking their vintage trailers and renting them out as Airbnbs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of ways you can change the use of it. So mm-hmm. you're utilizing it. You know, the worst that happens is when people buy things, never use it, it just sits there.
Yes. We don't want that to happen. So. Especially, I mean, that definitely doesn't work with your sustainable design inclination. So yeah, we definitely want people. And I think that people are going to innovate and just see new uses and new ways. And I love that Airbnb option as that people can do with their trailers once they're done living that van life or just need a break and need to like stay one place for a little while. I'm sure that does get tiring, but also.
Well, we have an Instagram called Vintage Camper Trader mm-hmm. that people can come and list for sale their trailer, or if they have like an event trailer, they can list that. Or if they have a Airbnb, they can list it on there. As a way of just trying to help kind of connect that community, mm-hmm. keeping people using things is always a good idea. You know,
yeah.
Trade and barter, selling, moving things along is much better than sitting and falling, dilapidating in a field somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is where we find a lot of our old Airstreams.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oftentimes you'll drive by these giant lots that just have like old trucks and cars and trailers. And like, there's probably some little gold nugget in within all of that rusting.
Oh yeah,
over there. Yeah,
yeah. And I think people like that stuff too. I mean, mm-hmm. you see all those shows like on Netflix, there's like Rusted or whatever. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where people take and find the old things and fix them up, sell them.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you would recommend to up and coming designers as far as like design or business that you think would be important for them to know?
I think if they're looking at getting into like small space or something there, don't throw away your other side of your business and jump all in. Just try branching out into it to see if you can build it before making any type of major transition. Yeah. But yeah, if you're looking at getting into something very specific like this, as I said before, I would just try to find somebody to work with who knows what they're doing. It will save a lot of headaches, and it is a large learning curve on it, and it would help them along to partner up or do something with somebody to start.
Yeah, for sure. That's great advice. And where can people find you if they want to reach out to you for more great advice?
You type in Airstream and Innovative Spaces, you'll find us right away.
Okay.
Check it out. You know, something fun to look through and search around on, see some cool builds and stuff. And all our contact information is in there. Great. Yeah. Give us a call. See if something comes of it.
Great. Yeah. We'll put all of your contact information in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Nate, for coming on and sharing your unique niche. And I loved hearing about it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview like I did. I really had not thought before about having Airstream trailers as part of the Airbnb vacation rental design area. So I think that is a really interesting avenue to get into. I know some people who are into vacation rental design. And so that can be definitely an up and coming interesting niche to get into. If you're interested, then definitely reach out to Nate. He's the expert on it and can guide you into that. I also had recommended that maybe he look into the Vacation Rental Design Summit that they have in the spring at High Point. That could be another avenue. If you're interested in vacation rental design, Airbnb design, then that's the place to be. So we can put a link to that in the show notes as well. All right, that's all I have for you this week. Stay tuned for another great episode next week. And until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.